Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give to the Lord. O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. You know, God is good. I need these floods just dimmed just a little, if we could, tech team. I'm blinded. Thank you. This morning, I want to continue this series on the Red Sea lessons. And as you've probably already seen in your bulletin, today's message is chill out, give God time. Chill out, give God time. What do I mean by chill out? Well, stay calm. Don't get excited. Don't panic. Okay? If you would, turn to Exodus chapter 14. The chapter that is the foundation and the basis for our Red Sea lesson series, this summer series. And, I've been getting some good feedback from this, so I hope that you'll make as many of these as you can. I know summer we've been really down and a lot of people out of town and doing some things, and everybody needs to take a break and be refreshed, but if you miss one of these series, I want to encourage you that following week, go online and go into the archives at our website and watch it, because we're walking through this Red Sea experience and trying to learn these lessons from the Israelites and what happened to them at the Red Sea. And you know, God really wants to teach us something. The Bible says these things were written as examples for you. So, you know, we need to learn from these things. They were written long ago, but they were written for today. You know, most often in a time of crisis or, a time of severe pressure, many people are panicked or paralyzed. And the problem is, this response is true of Christians too. You know, and if that's the case, what good is faith? Or maybe the question would be, where is faith in situations of high pressure or crisis? In Exodus chapter 14, last week in verses 10 through 12, we read where the Israelites panicked and began to scream at Moses for bringing them out of Egypt. Even after witnessing the miracles of the plagues and how God brought them out, we see at the Red Sea, where is their faith? In Romans 12:19, it talks about not trying to get even when someone wrongs us. And I want us to look at that scripture this morning, Romans 12:19. And Twitch, can we bring that up? Do you have that slide? Do you have Romans 12:19? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. I don't think that's the one I'm looking for, but maybe I put in the wrong one. That's 12:9. I need 12:19. Let me just go to it. Romans 12:19. Maybe I put the wrong one on the outline. Romans 12:19 says, well, there it is. Okay. Do not take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And here's what I want you to see in that verse. And you might want to underline it in your Bibles. Leave room, it says, leave room for God's. Those four words. Leave room for God's. In this case, it says wrath. In other words, let God settle the score. Let God take care of things. So if we can leave room for God's wrath, can we not leave room for some of His other attributes? Like His power, His grace, His mercy. Can we not leave room for God's intervention in situations, in circumstances? I want you to write these words down. It's our first point today. Leave room for God. Leave room for God. No, I can't solve every problem, heal every hurt, do away with every fear. I don't have all the answers for every situation. None of us do. But you know what? We can leave room for God. We can leave room for God to work. Because I know He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or imagine. Now, where did I get that from? The Bible. It's God's Word. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or imagine. Here's the issue. We don't leave. You know, God specializes. You know what He specializes in? The impossible. He specializes in the impossible. And here's the issue. We don't leave room for God. Why? Because that requires waiting on the Lord. And after all, who wants to do that, right? Who wants to wait on God? You know, who wants to wait for God to show up? Because He doesn't work on our time. Exodus 14. Today's verses are 13 and 14. And I want to encourage you, as we're going through this summer series, read Exodus chapter 14. Just keep reading, maybe once a week, read through that chapter and see what God speaks to you about. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall see again no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Good verses. Good verses. Listen to this. First thing He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What's the first thing that strikes in crisis? Fear. Fear. And I apologize, guys. I don't know who's back there. I need these right over here. They're totally blinding me. I can't see anything. I just need to dim these on this side if we could just a little. Thank you. That's better. Fear is the first thing that strikes us. Fear is the first thing that strikes us. And He says, do not fear. And then He goes and says something really powerful. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, that underline that in your Bible, that stand still. You know, there's another verse in the Bible that says, be still and know that I am God. It's hard to stand still, isn't it? It's hard to just sit and wait. You know, by nature, we're not patient. People aren't patient, are we? We want to just get it taken care of and move on, right? Or we panic we fear and we say, okay, let's do something about this because I got to get rid of this fear. Listen, perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love comes from God. So here we see Moses saying, chill out. Chill out, give God room. Give God time to work. And this is what this is doing. This describes the biblical idea of waiting on God, waiting on the Lord. It's about committing your Red Sea situation to God in three ways: prayer to Him, trusting Him, and waiting for Him. I'll say that again. Prayer to Him, crying out to Him, speaking to Him. Prayer to Him, trusting Him, and waiting for Him. And of course, that's in direct opposition to what? To our nature, to our impatient selves. You know, but we can avoid a lot of headaches and worry by taking a big dose of this. And this is what I mean, Psalm 38. Turn to Psalm 38, if you will. Psalm 37, I apologize. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 7. Are you with me? Okay, here we go. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Let's try that again on the screen. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret, it leads only to evil. Here's what I want you to see, those last few words. Do not fret. What is fretting? Worrying. Fret is worry. Do not worry, it leads only to evil. In the New King James, it says, do not fret, it only causes harm. It causes harm. Don't fret, it causes harm. You see that? Fretting causes harm. You know what it does? It stresses us, doesn't it? And it stresses those around us, doesn't it? It causes harm to your body. That's proven medically. And it gives control to your emotions. You know what? If you're in a tight place right now, maybe you need to put it in His hands and give God time to work. After all, He's the only one that can part the waters, right? Can we part waters? No. Bible commentator Matthew Henry said this: in times of great difficulty and great expectation, it's wise to keep our spirits calm, quiet, and sedate. Then we're in the best frame both to do our own work and to consider the work of God. That's good advice. You know, in Scripture, it tells us not to fear or to not be afraid 107 times in the Old Testament and 42 times in the New Testament. So, must be important. He must mean not fear when He says it. So, when we look at these Scriptures where we see 107 times in the Old Testament and 42 times in the New Testament, don't fear, don't be afraid, then here's what I believe God's telling us with that. God wants our emotions under control. God wants our emotions under control. Please write that down. That's our next point. Twitcher, we need to move that next point up, please. God wants our emotions under control. Okay? Now, I realize that's a hard one. isn't it? Would you agree that's hard to keep our emotions under control? Of course it is. Emotion, I want you to look at the word emotion up there. You know what emotion is? Emotion is the word motion with an E in front of it. You know what that E stands for? Erratic. Erratic motion. That's what emotions are. Erratic. Do you agree? I mean, it's true. You can't argue with that. I mean, I don't know if that the E stands for that, but that's, to me, that's what it stands for. Erratic motions. You see, we need to know, here's what we need to know. We can't trust our emotions, our feelings. You see, our feelings can fly like a roller coaster, up and down, twisting and turning, even lapping back around again. Circumstances drive strong feelings, but it only gets worse when we give our emotions free rein, when we just turn them loose and let them go crazy. You see, that's what we see here at the Red Sea. That's what happened to the Israelites. They saw they were in a tight place. They didn't know how they were going to get out of it. And their emotions went wild. They cried out to God, then they started screaming at Moses. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Maturity. This is what we have to do as Christians. We have to begin to reach maturity. Maturity is the ability to keep passions or emotions under control. Maturity is the ability to keep passions under control. You see, it's one thing for two-year-olds not to be able to control emotions. But as adults, we need to know that we can't trust our emotions. And we surely shouldn't be controlled by them. We shouldn't be controlled by them. And that's what happens oftentimes. You see, God wants us to walk by faith, not feelings. Because there's times, and this is what we have to do. And we all can struggle with this. We can all struggle with our erratic motions. But here's what we need to do when we sense that coming on and we sense our emotions starting to take over. We need to choose an attitude that's opposite the way we feel. Choose an attitude that's the opposite the way we feel. You see, the Israelites were freaking out. They were freaking out. They were fussing and hollering and screaming at Moses, saying, "What have you done? You've made a mess. You've got us in this situation." And you see, what we need to do when we sense our emotions trying to take over, what we need to do is choose an attitude that's the opposite the way we feel. Why? Feelings are real, aren't they? But they'll mislead us. And they'll get us to make a mistake, or they'll get us off focus of what we need to focus on. So when you feel like anger rising up, choose an opposite attitude of the way you feel. If you feel fear rising up, choose an attitude of boldness. Say, I know my God will supply my needs according to His riches in glory. No, I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to choose to be calm and give God time. See, choose an attitude that's the opposite of the way we feel. And that's really the point of today's Red Sea lesson. You know, the Israelites had good reason to be worried. But they had a better reason to be calm and confident. They had someone on their side who had given them a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to lead them. Someone who had sent lightning and locusts on the Egyptians. See, God wanted them to overcome fear with faith, to trust Him, to leave room for Him to work. In our distresses in life, when we're in a Red Sea cul-de-sac, remember, God has promised to fight for us. God has promised to fight for us. Turn to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. verse 6. Listen to what he says here. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you believe that? You believe it now, don't you? Because it's easy to believe it sitting here in church in a worship service, isn't it? But it's not so easy when you're out there in the fight, is it? You know what? If we can believe it here, that's the whole purpose, is to believe it out there when we're in that situation. If we can believe it, does God's word change? Does His promises change? So if that's good here, why isn't it good out there? It is good out there, isn't it? But it's predicated on us. Not going on feelings, going on faith and truth. God wants our emotions under control. You see, in Exodus 14, Moses instructed the people to not be afraid. Are you kidding me, Moses? The chariots are coming. The horsemen are coming. The Egyptians are coming. The dust is rising. We can see it. We're going to drown or what? What's the options? He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what salvation is? Deliverance. It's deliverance. Salvation is deliverance. When we come to Christ and we put our faith in Christ, He delivers us. He delivers us from sin. He delivers us from ourselves. He delivers us from hell. In Psalm 46, He tells us to be still and know that I am God. And here's the struggle we often have with this idea. Be still and know that I am God. It requires faith and patience. And many Christians lack both of those critical things. And here's the point. Giving God room requires faith and patience. Giving God room requires faith and patience. You see, it demands faith because at times we have to stand positioned with God when everyone and everything else is going in a different direction or coming against you. Ever been in that situation? Yes. Where your position, everyone and everything's coming against it or going against it or going in a different direction? Yeah, probably all of us. I've been there. It's not pleasant, but it's what He expects us to do. It requires faith. It also requires patience. Because God, listen, God doesn't show up in our timing. He moves in His timing. And until He does, we're left looking at situations as they unfold. Not seeing any way over, under, around, or through. And that's really agonizing at times, isn't it? See, we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like the unknown. We want it fixed now, don't we? Well, let's see how one of God's leaders, King Jehoshaphat, handled and dealt with his Red Sea situation. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Still with me? First passage we're going to look at is verses 3 and 4. And Jehoshaphat feared. Here's what was happening. Let me just set this up for you. Because in the previous verses just before this, some of his scouts or messengers or guards came to him. He said, look, King Jehoshaphat, these armies are lining up against you. The Amorites, he named several of them. The ones from Syria, from Hazazon. And he said, they're in Tamar, which is En Gedi, which is like, they're next door. And all these armies are lining up against you. And you know, it's kind of like Israel. You know, today, little Israel and all those countries that line up against them. And this is what was happening. And so, in verse 3, King Jehoshaphat does this. He said, and Jehoshaphat feared. Okay? That's reasonable, isn't it? I mean, you got all these armies lining up against you, surrounding you. Reason for fear. He feared. But listen, here's what we want to get here, that he didn't stay there. Fear didn't rule. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. Underline, seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Do you know what we need to do when we're in a cul-de-sac, a Red Sea cul-de-sac? Nowhere to turn? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. You know, that's one of the things that that I've observed about this tragedy that took place 2 weeks ago this morning in Orlando. There's all kinds of vigils and rallies and marches and things. But you know what we need to do in situations like that? We need to be seeking God. Everyone seeking God. Seeking God. Not seeking to publicity or politics or false gods, but seeking God. Look at verse 4. So Judah gathered together. He called a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to what? Seek the Lord. You see, he didn't just go fast and pray himself. He called a fast throughout the whole country. And he said, everybody come together and seek God. Fast and seek God. Because you know what? There's a problem. There's a crisis. We're in a Red Sea situation. He feared, but listen, he didn't let fear paralyze him. Fear paralyzes, doesn't it? It paralyzes it. And it makes us unable to make good decisions, sometimes or any decision at all. He didn't let fear paralyze him. He immediately began to seek God's presence. And he called everyone else to do the same corporately. They purposed, here's what they did. They purposed to be still and know that he is God. Look at verse 12. O God, will you not judge them, the enemies? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Underline that. Our eyes are upon you. We talked about this last week, I think it was. What was last week's message? See the enemy, but focus on God. And that's just what they're doing here. They saw the enemy, but they focused their eyes on God, crying out to him. They made a decision to stand still and see the deliverance of God. Look at verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed, because this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Look at this. The battle is not yours, but God's. Underline that. And then I want you to write this down, because that brings us to our point here. And it's an important point. Don't fight battles that are not yours. Don't fight battles that are not yours. Now, don't take that out of context. I don't mean that in the context of keep your nose out of other people's business. because you could go that way with that too. But that's not where we're going this morning. Don't fight battles that are not yours. You know what? Sometimes we get in these situations, in these circumstances, and we start to fight, to grovel, to scratch, to claw, to try to work it out and figure it out and try to fix it, don't we? Well, there's a few honest people here. Most of us try to do that. But listen, don't fight battles that aren't yours. You know what was the very first lesson? What was lesson number one in this series? Okay, I'm going to review. You need to go back and look at your notes, or you need to go back and watch in the archives. If you find yourself in a Red Sea situation, know that God has you where you are. God has you where you are. You see, don't fight battles that are not yours. Either God allowed you to get there, or He led you there for a reason, to learn something. And sometimes he doesn't want you to fight. Sometimes the lesson is, be still and know that I am God. Be still and watch what I can do. Don't fight battles that's not yours. Our immediate response is to fight, right? The emotions, the erratic motions are either fight or flight, right? Fight or run. No, God says, just stand still and know that I'm God. Don't fight. The battle's not yours. It's His. It's His. But it's only His if we give it to Him and we let Him fight it. His way, His time. How often we get in situations or things arrive, sometimes in relationships, in situations, and we immediately react. We immediately let erratic motions take over. Instead of just, okay, God, I'm going to wait. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to see. I'm going to give you time to work in this situation. Because you see, oftentimes, especially in conflict between people, He's either trying to teach me something or teach the other person. We thank you, Father, that we can be still and know that you're God. We can stand still and see your salvation, your deliverance in our lives, in the lives of others. So, Father, we pray this morning, we ask you to teach us that in ways that only you can. We ask that your Holy Spirit would instill in us the faith to believe, that your word that's in this place today is the same word that goes with us when we leave here. It doesn't change. It doesn't weaken. And it doesn't stop. And so we ask you, Lord, to your Spirit to fill us fresh with faith. Fresh with faith today. Knowing that no matter what situation we're in, that you have us there and you willing and wanting to work in our lives. And so we say thank you. I pray, God, if there's someone here today that has never put their faith in Christ, I pray, God, that they would step out in faith, that they would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that they would believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead as Savior and Lord, so that they can not just see but receive your salvation. God, if there's only one here today, if there's even one, I pray you'd help them. The power of your Spirit would draw them into faith in Jesus Christ. Now. Right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're a good, good Father. You're not an earthly Father. You're our heavenly Father. You're the one true God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we thank you and praise you. And Father, as we bring our tithes and offerings to you today, we praise you in that way too. We worship you and honor you in faith for our provision, our protection, for providing our needs, not our wants, our needs. And so we just honor you with our tithes and our offerings in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen. Amen. And if you made a decision today, any kind of decision, write it on your connection point. There's a place for prayer requests on the back if you need prayer, but there's a place if you accepted Christ or rededicated your life, you want to be baptized. There's places on there to check that. Use this connection point. It's very, very important. It's how we help connect with each other. Ushers,